Last week on Let's Talk Supply Chain, I was really excited to showcase the very first episode of our brand new live show. That's right. One of my favorite industry professionals, the incredible Christine Barnhart, has launched a new series for Let's Talk Supply Chain called Supply Chain Unfiltered. Every third Wednesday of the month, Christine will be joined by innovators and thought leaders to have candid conversations about the challenges that supply chain professionals face, which is just a few, right? And in her first show, Christine was joined by Karen Bursa, CEO of Nerakio, to take on some big questions. Will we always be playing catch up in an industry that moves the goalposts faster than we can manage? Is it possible to avoid the ERP trap in order to implement the systems that businesses need to function in a collaborative supply chain ecosystem? And what can organizations do to lay the groundwork for more interconnected, interoperable supply chain networks? So just one or two of the hot topics for her very first show. I hope you really enjoyed it. But remember, if you missed it, you can catch up over on letstalksupplychain.com, on our YouTube channel, or anywhere else that you subscribe to the show. It was episode 398. Let's Talk Supply Chain is not your average supply chain podcast. We feature not just the top of the industry, but also diverse voices from within the community, new innovations, and the disruptors making waves in the industry. Don't listen to the same old, same old. Be sparked by new ideas and fresh perspectives only on Let's Talk Supply Chain. When you're looking for cutting-edge resources on innovation and trends across supply chain, where do you go? What about when you're on a mission to find like-minded professionals and cultivate relationships that go beyond an emoji reaction? And what about when you're trying to generate leads, build campaigns, and get ahead of the game in the unique world of supply chain marketing? Supply chain has been missing a single collaborative hub that brings people and ideas together in an environment that is safe yet stimulating for everyone. Until now. Just one platform that's as dynamic and innovative as you are. Welcome to the Secret Society of Supply Chain, a private network for the supply chain community. An industry first brought to you by supply chain media entrepreneur Sarah Barnes Humphrey. The Secret Society of Supply Chain brings professionals of all backgrounds and experience levels together in the industry's largest dynamic network, focusing on industry learning and career development, as well as networking and community. The Secret Society of Supply Chain hosts all the content, connection, and creativity you need for supply chain success. But which group is for you? Well, head over to letstalksupplychain.com, find the Secret of Society banner, and take the quiz and join our waitlist. There are limited number of spots available, so make sure to get on that waitlist so that you are one of the first into the Secret Society of Supply Chain. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Supply Chain. Before we begin, I have a question. Today's guest has years of experience in angel investing, but do you know how many angel investors are active in the U.S.? This is a tricky one. I don't think there can be too many people with millions to throw around, but what do you think? Let us know your guesses over on social and keep listening because all will be revealed at the end of the show. So today I'm excited to welcome an entrepreneur, content creator, experiential marketer, and angel investor to our Woman in Supply Chain series. She's one of the reasons that Manifest exists, so we all have a lot to thank her for. But who is she? Well, I'll let you know after the poll of the week. So we ask you a question every single Wednesday morning across the Let's Talk Supply Chain LinkedIn and Instagram. And this week's question, which one would you prefer? Better job title or better pay? Well, we had almost 300 votes for this one. 95% of you said better pay. And 5% of you said better job title. Isn't that interesting? Audrey, it's a good practice to keep an eye on your job title, especially to ensure it matches industry and is transferable. In my honest opinion, though, ultimately, the biggest impact to your ability to be your best self is money. If you aren't worried about bills and are able to buy healthy groceries, travel once in a while, etc., you can be a better employee. Frederico, the right cultural fit and environment, wish to see this option. And Fred says, show me the money. All right. Well, thank you so much to everybody who weighed in on the question of the week. Come back every single Wednesday morning to be part of that conversation. Now back to today's episode and the inspirational woman in supply chain I have with me today is Pam Simon. Pam is a creative and results-driven entrepreneur with more than 20 years of experience in content creation and producing world-leading tech conferences. A self-proclaimed connecting queen, Pam knows how to bring people together in ways that drive success. Today, Pam will be telling me all about her fascinating career journey, exactly what goes on behind the scenes of leading industry events, the power of embracing connections, and how her Future of Event series became the biggest name in supply chain. But we couldn't have our Woman in Supply Chain series without our sponsors. GoFreight is proud to sponsor the Woman in Supply Chain podcast series, recognizing women's vital role in the industry and the need to highlight their contributions and experiences. We are committed to promoting diversity and inclusion in the supply chain field and are honored to support initiatives that empower and inspire women in their professional journeys. With GoFreight, tasks such as quoting, booking, cargo tracking, and data reporting, which traditionally required email or phone communication, can now be quickly completed through a user-friendly online platform similar to booking flights or hotel. For more information, please visit GoFreight.com. And our second one, Food Logistics and Supply and Demand Chain Executives Women in Supply Chain Award, sponsored by us and Blended Pledge, honors female supply chain leaders and executives whose accomplishments, mentorship, and examples set a foundation for women in all levels of a company's supply chain network. Go and check out Supply and Demand Chain Executives Women in Supply Chain Forum and Award over at their website. So welcome to the show, Pam.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. I mean, entrepreneur, angel investor, marketer, content creator. There are so many strings to your bow, right? And you're the woman behind Manifest as well, or at least one of them. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that when it comes to women in supply chain. And I have so many questions for you. So let's just dive right in because I think we could talk for hours. All right. So you started your career in marketing. You lived in Washington, then moved to New York. Talk us through those early days of your career. Did you have an end goal or sort of vision in mind, or were you soaking up life and taking opportunities as they come?
I was figuring it out. I would say things were a little bit different when I graduated college, because when I graduated, it was that time where you had to work at a corporate for at least a year before you could even do anything else. Like, no one would talk to you until you had that like year of corporate in there. And I was just telling a friend of mine, mine was interesting because I did a year at Maxim magazine, and then I was at parenting. Quite different environments. It was a good learning experience. I feel like, I mean, if given the time and you're supposed to, you know, be in that corporate world, it was good for me to learn. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, to have a boss, like the CEO of the company was someone that was really open to my curiosity. So when it came to if there were different marketing meetings or different events or different, you know, initiatives that they were putting together that I was interested in, I would ask to like sit in different meetings, and he let me. So I really got to understand publishing and be part of that experience. So it was not my, I mean, I did it. I learned about it. It was a great learning experience. Was it for me? No, but that's okay. That's part of the process.
Yeah. I always tell everybody like they need to try different things to figure out what they're good at, what they're not good at, what they like to do, and what they don't like to do, because that's really going to help shape any sort of, you know, job opening that you're thinking about going to, or even a different industry that you're looking to go to. But it's amazing that you were able to sort of ask for those opportunities and get most of those opportunities. A lot of people don't have that. But to all the leaders out there, it makes a big difference in somebody's career.
It really does. So I'm grateful for, you know, having someone that wanted to look out for me, or at least, you know, catered to my curiosities.
Yeah. And then you moved to Brazil. Like, how did that opportunity come about? And what was your experience of living in Brazil? How did it differ from life in Washington or maybe New York?
It was very different. So it came about in a typical Brazilian fashion. My husband's Brazilian, and he was at a big, you know, hedge fund in New York. They acquired the largest private equity and hedge fund in Brazil. So it was presented to me initially, and we had just bought our first, you know, townhouse in New York, was decorating, you know, we came home from work being like, so there's like 10% chance we move to Brazil. And I was, okay, so not taking it seriously. Like, and then like a week later, it was like, oh, I think 30%. Oh, okay. Still, but I'm super pessimistic. I'm not, you know, don't worry about it. Okay. Like 2 weeks goes by and it's like moving to Brazil. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I had never been to South America. Our housewarming and our housewarming party and our going away party were the same party. And it was supposed to be for 6 months and it turned into 5+ years. So I think, you know, initially when we moved down, it was hard. I mean, you basically have to start yourself completely over in a country that didn't speak English. Mm-hmm. So when I first got there, I actually did intensive Portuguese classes, to be able to get around. I don't know if you've been to Rio, but Rio versus São Paulo, in Rio, it's much more Portuguese. It's much more just Brazil, and São Paulo is much more international and global. So the first 3 years in Rio, I mean, it's a challenge, and we were there during the pacification. So it was a lot more dangerous, right? You're going to bed, listening to gunshots. That's a little bit different than anywhere else I had lived. But I will say it was probably one of the best experiences of my life. And it really kind of showed me I can do things on my own. I feel like when you're in New York and all of your friends are here from college and wherever, you get comfortable, and it's easy. And I mean, now I appreciate CVS so much more than I ever could have imagined.
Right.
But it was an incredible experience. I had been in the New York tech space for a while. Mm-hmm. I started, you know, a future of local kind of event that was happening. So I was already big in the tech space. So once I finished, you know, not fully learning Portuguese because I'm still pretty terrible, but enough that I communicate and like get around, then it became a lot more fun. And that's when I started working with, you know, 212 and 2, which was a digital accelerator, and then going on to Entrepreneur Week. So I think once I figured out, you know, the ecosystem a little bit more, mm-hmm. and realized that I could play a role in actually bringing those people together, then it became a lot more fun and less stressful.
Yeah.
To be in a place where you don't know anything or know anybody.
Like, well, and that's really hard, actually. I saw a post recently by Liz from Supply Chain Gals, you know, that talked about when you're thinking about taking a job opportunity, there's a few things to think about. And one of them was, is there an opportunity for your significant other to come with you? And how easy is that going to be? Because that is a reality for a lot of folks, right? If they are in a committed relationship or they're married. And so for you to really just sort of pick up and not even entirely sure what you're going to do, you know, take up the language to at least try to get by, which, you know, is admirable on its own. It depends if you're good at languages or not.
I'm absolutely terrible, but I try. And they appreciated that I was trying. On the plus side, you know, if you're an investor, if you're a global investor, you do speak English. So that was my way in, I think, because at least I can understand when people speak Portuguese, I can follow along just fine. Me responding takes a lot longer. Right. And so by the time I like got my sentence out, people were like, we switched topics. Like, oh, like I love the effort. That was cute. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to respond in English from now on. Like, this is like,
that is so funny. But also too, like trying to figure out yourself in that kind of environment and what you want to do as well. Cause you're reinventing yourself, not only from a language perspective, but also what you're going to do from a day-to-day perspective as well. And so, you know, you talked about Entrepreneurship Week or Entrepreneur Week. Why was that sort of a natural transition for you, right? Because that takes you from tech into business and entrepreneurship. And I think that's kind of where you found your passion in that realm as well. So talk us through that transition.
So it was an interesting way that kind of came about. So I had done, you know, the demo day, which is now, if you go to a demo day in LATAM, it's kind of the format that I'd started back then. I had, had a passport issue and got deported, and, briefly, We'll save that for another time.
That is such a Pam story. Can I just pause this for a minute? Because, and we're going to keep this in, by the way, but I just want to let anybody know who's listening or watching, that is a total Pam story.
And I went back in like 4 days later. So, you know, I figured it out. But during that little deportation is when I met the founder of Entrepreneur Week, who had been doing them like in other places around the globe. So when I was like, oh, I'm in Brazil. And he's like, we'd love to do one in Brazil. Like, do you want to do it? Like, yeah, why not? Like, I'm already starting, like, I've already kind of created this network. I've created this thing. And I thought I was going to have a lot more help in the process because it was a full week. It was 5 days. I mean, I had panels like all day long and there were multiple things. And I thought I was going to get all this help and I didn't get any help. So it was overwhelming in the sense of like, oh my God, I'm doing everything by myself, like legitimately from the like execution to the speakers, to the investors, to all of it. But the plus side was that I really got to build and strengthen my relationships with the ecosystem.
Right.
And once I did that, it actually led me to start my own, you know, LATAM Founders, because I had created such a network and people were coming to me for all different things. For companies that were expanding, you know, from the US or from wherever, coming into Brazil for the investment landscape. And so I was kind of an accidental entrepreneur because it started, my actual LATAM founder started as a Google group, like legitimately like a forum. And it started, I created it initially because someone had asked me a tax question and I'm thinking, I'm the last person that you want tax advice from. That's not who I am. It's just not for me. And I'm like, but I know a lot of people that can help you with this. So that's kind of how the group initially started. And then it really grew. So LATAM Founders turned into like the largest private network of investors and CEOs in LATAM.
Wow.
And yeah. Like I did an awards, which became known as like the Oscars of Latin America. So it was like a big thing. And it really changed the landscape of LATAM. So like when you look at the map of the unicorns or like the funded successful companies now, all those companies were part of my network and meeting their investors at the dinners that I was hosting.
Wow. Amazing.
See the impact after.
Well, and I can feel the passion as you speak about it. And just the fact that you just kept sort of building, right? Mm-hmm. You just really took all the building blocks and opportunities that came to you and just started building in different areas and really saw where the opportunity was, where your passion was, and you just kept going toward in that direction. And I bring that up because a lot of times we don't necessarily see the opportunities, but we're thrown into situations potentially. And I want to encourage all the women or all the people listening to this to really, you know, just keep going and then make sure that you have your eyes open for the opportunities and make sure that you're flexible enough to like, you know, shift because you just don't know where it's going to take you. And that kind of success can come out of, you know, doing it that way.
I couldn't agree more. Go for it. I mean, you never know when you meet someone where that conversation is going to take you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So then I hear you went to Lab Ventures in Miami. I think you were breaking down some barriers between corporate world and then forward-thinking startups that were disrupting traditional business models. And, you know, as an entrepreneur myself, this is really important work, right? I mean, I've kind of broken some of those glass ceilings in this industry from a media perspective. But I've struggled a little bit as a woman sometimes to get in front of the right people, maybe secure investment in a corporate world that kind of seems closed off to a lot of people. So what's your perspective on this? Why is it important to break down those barriers? And do you have any advice for budding entrepreneurs or energetic startups looking to take the next step?
I think it's really, I mean, if you want to succeed, it's, I think we've really seen that it's no longer just having this great idea and a vision. It's really like, can it work? And proving that it can work and solve a real problem that people are dealing with. In my case, I feel like the more people you can talk to, the better. Talk to everyone, get feedback from as many people as you possibly can, because then you'll start to see patterns. And you can build from those patterns. If you keep hearing the same thing over and over again, it can be added. As an example with Manifest, you know, this year's show, we added to our kickoff day, we added intermodal. And that was because I was hearing about it left and right from other people being like, I'm curious. I want more information. I would like to understand it better. I want to improve this in my business. So I went around and asked every question to everybody in that space that I possibly could. Mm-hmm. And then from those conversations, you see the patterns of, oh, this is really an area that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so when I hear people explaining what they're doing, you know, not everyone needs another marketplace.
Right.
So looking at how you can actually add value, and reach out to people just to ask questions. Like, you don't have to be, every person you talk to doesn't have to be specifically like, I need to talk to them for an investment. Reach out to an investor that's invested in companies similar to you.
Yeah.
And get understanding of like, why did you make that investment? How is it doing? You know, if you could do it differently, what's it missing?
Yeah.
Ask those types of really specific questions and then do something with it. Just because you have that information, you actually have to then like read it, analyze it, and then figure out like how it's going to affect the way you approach things.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to throw something in there though. I made the mistake of asking too many questions around my pitch deck and spent like 18 months trying to perfect the damn thing. And there is no perfect pitch deck. Can I just throw that out there? Because at one point somebody was like, oh, you need to change the font. And I was like, if somebody is not going to invest with me because I chose a font that they don't like, I mean, give me a break. So please don't do what I did. Take 18 months to try to craft the perfect pitch deck. And that was based on some really bad advice that I got. So all I want to do is jump on what you said is be curious and ask questions, but be careful where the advice is coming from.
Yes, be careful about the advice. And it's not, you can't be perfect. Like mm-hmm. it's never going to happen. And it's better to present what you have and then build than it is to continuously iterate, and then miss those opportunities because you're so focused on having it perfect. When in reality, like your pitch deck is going to evolve every single time that you raise another round or that you reach out to someone. So it's a constantly, like, think of it more as a living document than like a set in stone. It has to be perfect. Mm-hmm. As long as your numbers are correct, right? Like your numbers have to be that you have to be careful with, but the rest of it, look and feel, it's going to evolve. It's going to change. Mm-hmm. It's better to get it into the hands of the right people and get the phone call or the meeting where you can explain it.
So true. And I think we jumped over a really important step. You were in Brazil and then all of a sudden you're in Miami. What happened there? Why did you go from Brazil to Miami?
No.
Okay. So talk to us about this.
I was in Rio for 3 years. And then, you know, my husband got promoted, which was great. So we moved to São Paulo. I loved São Paulo. It's like a New York on crack. It's just like, it's because it's so much bigger.
Right.
It's like bigger and it's more alive and it just rages on constantly. So there's just like constantly different things and activities happening. So I loved being in São Paulo. I actually felt much more comfortable and at home there than I did in Rio because it was more city and more international. I love the beach, but more on the weekend and not like 11 a.m. on Wednesday. So I loved being in São Paulo. And basically what happened was my husband got promoted, which was great for him at the time. I remember being like, I'm so happy for you. Like, uh-oh. Like I had a dream office. I was sharing an office space with like a bunch of companies that I really liked. And I had like a whole system down. So what we did was we actually did 3 years of Brazil, New York, Miami, basically like 2 months, 2 months, 2 months, 2 months. Like, cause at that point, like after living in Brazil for that long, I'm sorry, like, winter's not for me.
Oh, right. No. Winter is so not for me either. I have determined that this one is my last.
I'm not a winter person. It just doesn't work. So I told my husband, like, look, if you want to have kids, I'm not doing it there and I'm not doing it there. So, you know, when I got the offer to join Lab Ventures, which two of the partners of Lab Ventures had been speakers of mine in the past. So when they were thinking about starting the fund, I was the first phone call of like, hey, there's three of us and we're going to launch this fund. You want to be our fourth? And based in Miami and considering my husband was traveling usually like Monday through Thursday, and we were rotating around anyway. I was like, so done. I'm in. So we moved to Miami, and joined Lab Ventures. And we started to do, you know, we were investing in some companies, and then we started to do venture building specifically around the, you know, industries that were dominating business in Florida. So real estate, travel, logistics. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to company building, like it's about building an ecosystem. So, I mean, we talked about this. I'm an ecosystem builder. I can kind of put all those puzzle pieces together. Mm-hmm. So I had said to my team, like, I know my method of doing things. Like, can I do my, you know, can I try? I'm like, sure. So I had two other people, and that's how the future of, you know, logistics tech and real estate tech and travel tech kind of started. And those events were fun. It was very different than what Manifest is, obviously, because it was closed. It was like, you know, the first one, I think, was 250 people. Mm-hmm. And then the next one was 500 people. But it was closed. It was one day, and it was much more like small, not as vast and all encompassing that Manifest is. But it was a great way to like get involved in the industry and really make those relationships. And I love being in Miami. I mean, it's very kid friendly and warm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, warm is the collective word there. So you started these events, like the Future of Event series. And then I don't think a lot of people know this, but it was acquired by Connective. And Connective is the company, I believe, behind Manifest, right? And that's when Manifest was kind of launched. Talk to us about how that all happened and what it makes it into what it is today.
So I think May 2019, I talked to my partners and they were more inclined to dive further into real estate. And for me, I'm like, I see all this potential with logistics. This is pre-COVID. So I'm like, I know there's something here and I don't want to give up on this. Mm-hmm. So I was in New York over the summer. I kind of, you know, pounded the pavement, met with investors, met with other event companies, kind of just to see, like, I know I've built something. Let's see if we can give it some more legs. And that's how I got in touch. You know, I got connected with Connective. We signed December 1st, 2019. Wow. So time for a live show to then have a full year of, you know, COVID and close down.
I remember that. I'm going to jump in here because you reached out to me.
Yes.
And you were like, hey, I want you to be part of this event. And I was like, sure, that sounds amazing. And then it was kind of like a few updates was like, well, we're going to have to, you know, push it off a little bit. Just because the pandemic hit and there wasn't much we could do about it, right? Or you could do about it.
Yes. Thankfully, we pulled the plug before other people did. So we bumped our show like way in advance, which worked out. It's the longest runway up to a show I've ever had in my life.
Ever. And longest one I've ever been a part of.
you've been part of it. Like, it was wild for it to be like that long of a runway. I mean, like, I'm normally had been doing everything else within like 3 to 6 months.
Right.
So all this time. But the benefit of that is I really got to know even more of the industry and go further. Right. So there was definitely that. And then the first year of Manifest, you were there. It was in the middle of the Omicron wave, which was its own, you know, animal. And to figure out having, you know, we actually did have testing on site because the primary focus is make sure everyone is safe and feels safe and is comfortable. It was definitely the most chaotic, stressful 2 weeks of my life, of career. I think like for all of us, for our career, like nothing has ever happened in that scale.
Right.
But it, you know, there were 1,500 people at the first Manifest from many countries. So we, you know, we figured it out. And thankfully, the people that couldn't go because of travel bans and whatnot, they felt the FOMO.
Right.
So the next year was 3,300 people. Mm-hmm. And then this year with 5,000 people. So it really
has
built.
Well, and a testament to you and the team for what you've been able to work through to get to this point and showcase. And like, it doesn't happen overnight. There is a lot of work that goes into something like this, not only to produce a show, just a show in general, but then to double in size every year. Right? Like that takes that year. You definitely need that whole year. So talk to us through what that looks like. Like what kind of work is involved? What are you guys doing throughout the year leading up to Manifest so that you can make this happen and you are sort of making sure that you're doubling every year?
And it really does take a year. It takes a lot of people and it takes a year to actually pull this together. From sponsorship, we have incredible sponsors, and you know, we're constantly creating new and innovative ways to surprise and delight and connect people. So our operations team spends a lot of time, you know, figuring out different ways that people can connect and meet. We have our tech team. We were nominated for best use of technology in our industry with the tabs that we do and like the way that we track things. So like I'm able to tell you, at least from a calculation side, there were over 60,000 meetings that took place at this year.
That's a lot.
So there's a lot happening. Like our, you know, my tech team is definitely they're involved. And sponsorship and then marketing. And then obviously on the speaker side of things, you know, we approach the agenda is, you know, we want to make sure it's different and exciting and fresh every year, because you don't want to go to a show with the exact same speakers every single time. So we usually try to do a full, you know, refresh of everything. There's a lot of research. I read a lot, whether it's articles or reports or, you know, et cetera. I talk to everybody in the industry constantly. And we're constantly building the agenda. But when it comes to the topics, because we want to make sure that the content that takes place on stage is relevant and timely and like makes sense to make a proper impact, typically the approach is actually confirming the people or companies that we're really excited about and blown away by. And then we'll figure out what they're going to be talking about closer to the show.
Right.
But given the cycle of our industry, confirming as many people as I can before the summer is obviously ideal. And then we have, you know, the summer is a little bit slower just because people travel and stuff. And then, you know, August to the show, there's a lot. Like we do a lot of prep calls. We do a lot of meetings. We do a lot of organizing. It's not just the content. There's also, you know, the investor office hours, there's shipper roundtables, there's different, you know, other side events or activities that they're
meeting rooms.
Like there's so many different pieces that are involved.
Women's lunch.
The women's luncheon is its own animal. Like now we do it in the main, like the big plenary room now. Mm-hmm. So like that whole room has to be flipped.
Yeah.
Like after the first like main sessions.
So
it's figuring out those logistics. And then, you know, we have amazing marketing ladies, Clara and Layla, and, you know, they really have been doing an incredible job. We also have amazing partners, including you. You know, we partner with everybody, that is contributing and impacting the industry in a positive way. So it's engaging with those partners and our people and understanding, you know, it's not self-serving. It's how can we help you and how can we make a bigger impact on the industry?
Yeah. And you partner with a lot of people and that goes a long way. Especially even other events, right?
Yeah.
Who some people would say are competitors of yours, but you guys don't see it that way. And I really like that. And I have loved working with the team and being involved since the beginning. And that's, you know, truly something that kind of humbles me as well, because, you know, I was one of the first people you reached out to. And you know, from the way that you're talking about how you partner with people, you know, I'm just so glad that you did. All right. So what do you think we can expect from the future of Manifest, right? It's getting bigger and bigger every year. Next year is going to be in the Venetian, and I think it's because you need more space.
We do. We need more space.
Like, can you share some like sneak peeks that nobody else has that maybe?
We're still negotiating. I mean, we're still plotting a lot of things. It's still early. So next year's will be February 10 to 12 at the Venetian. It is bigger. There will be higher, you know, there's higher ceilings to work with. So for robotics companies that are listening, we'll be able to.
Cool.
List more of you. I mean, it's constantly about bringing more people together. And the shipper side, like you saw from this year to last year, that's really grown a lot. I think people are really understanding, and we're going to see more people bringing their whole teams. Because Manifest really is something that is beneficial to divide and conquer. Because it is content that you're, you know, there's so many different content sessions that you're learning from and getting educated on. Then you have, you know, the floor, and then there's people that are just taking, I mean, there are some people that I've spoke to that are just taking like 30 meetings a day. and are just continuing. So in order to like make the most out of it and really be able to see and touch, feel, and understand everything, bring more people. So like on the investors, I would say most funds minimum 2 people, and then usually around 4 or 5, up to 10. On the shipper side, we saw a big jump from like, you know, 2 or 3 to, you know, Pepsi had 35 of their global executive team at the show. Wow. And it's been amazing. Like they're working with 8 companies that they met at the show from the year before. Mm-hmm. So you really like, you're able to see the impact that it's making. We're able to see more of those kind of connections to come. Yeah. And I think we'll be working even more closely with some of those shippers. So we did add shipper roundtables to this year. That went very well. And bringing more of the pieces of the ecosystem together, obviously it's global. So
going across. I want to expand on what you're talking about as connections, right? I think you call yourself a connecting queen. Is that right?
I mean, I usually say like I'm a business yenta, but to translate. Yes.
Anyways, I love it either way. And everybody knows that I believe collaboration and working together is the future of business. Why are you so passionate about bringing people together? And what's your advice for people or businesses seeking connection? Because you're really good at it. Not everybody's good at it. How do you get good at it?
I mean, I can't help myself. I feel like, truthfully, that's what it is. I usually like when I'm talking to someone and they're telling me what they're looking for, what they're interested in, mm-hmm. I can usually think of 4 to 5 people or companies that they should talk to that wouldn't hit their radar normally.
Right.
So then I get excited where I'm like, ooh, I know how to like, I have a way to make your business even better. And I have someone, and you're going to help my other friend because their business needs that technology to improve their efficiency or their visibility or whatever it may be. So I think that like seeing those connections flourish and become real partnerships or become investments and become, you know, bigger and successful, and then they're making a bigger impact, mm-hmm. at least for me, then I feel like I'm making an impact on the whole ecosystem. Yeah. And that makes me feel good because then at least I know that you're going to get your goods wherever they are in a more sustainable, efficient, you know, better for the world way.
Yeah.
And that's a way of contributing.
Yeah. I do the exact same thing. I'll be, you know, talking on a podcast and interviewing somebody and they say something. I'm like, wait a second. You need to talk to this person. We will take this offline. It's really that easy. You just got to listen.
You just have to listen. It's about listening. Like the end of the day, it's going into events and going into networking activities or operations and saying, instead of saying, how can you help me? It's mm-hmm. how can I help you? Mm-hmm. If that's your approach of like, how can I be helpful to you? People are more receptive. Their guard is down because then it's more like, wait, there's something that we could do together. You're not just hounding me for my business or you're not going to give me a sales pitch. It's more like, what can we do? Going to events like Manifest, and if you're going with a team, like dividing your team, like having a plan. I think going to a show like Manifest or any other event blind or just being like, I'm going to show up. It's going to be great. Arrive. They're going to be thrilled on there. Like, no, that's not, you will be overwhelmed. And if you're overwhelmed, then you're not going to have as much productive time while you're there. So if you're in a setting where you know all these people that you could potentially work with or do things with are there, come prepared, like research it, go through the attendee list, have a hit list of companies that you really want to make sure that you meet and get in front of.
Yeah. And I think the same goes for LinkedIn. Can I just like put that out there? Same goes for LinkedIn. Like don't connect with somebody and send your sales pitch right away. Nobody wants that. Get to know the person, react to their post, engage with their posts. Share your perspective. You know, that's really what networking and connecting is all about. And so I just want to throw that out there because it's not just in person. It's totally online with LinkedIn and it drives me crazy.
No, it's everywhere. It really is. It's everywhere. Yeah. You know, build that relationship and also go into it. I mean, like, I feel like a lot of times, like I'll see a news article, like LinkedIn's great for this, where it's like, oh, I just saw this article. Mm-hmm. I see you're focusing on this. Let's talk about this, right? So when you reach out to someone, have a reason. Mm-hmm. because I'm similar to you. You probably get a lot of like, hey, it'd be so great if we could just like chat or right. be in the network. Like, but why? Mm-hmm. And so when I reach out to people, I feel like I'm very intentional about when I reach out to people, and I'm very clear about like what I'm hoping for, or, you know, what I'm looking for, the type of impact that I could make mm-hmm. from this conversation, as opposed to like just the standard, you know, hey, I'm Pam, let's talk. It's cool what you're doing.
Yeah. There's an add a note feature for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. Let's switch gears. Let's switch gears a little bit, because you're a busy woman, right? And we're connected on Instagram, which I love, because you perform silks, and I'm probably completely butchering this, but it has to be one of the most interesting hobbies that I've seen or sort of heard about. Talk to us about that, but also talk to us about the importance of work-life balance, which you are really good at. And I think creativity, like you're intentional about creativity on top of that, which I think is really important too. And when I say work-life balance, I kind of want to, you know, pedal backwards a little bit, because I don't know if there is such a thing as necessarily work-life balance where it's like 50-50. I don't think that that's achievable, but I think that there are days where one is 80, the other one's 20, and then, you know, life is 80 and work is 20. And I think that's kind of the balance that we should all be seeking. So talk to me. I know I threw a bunch of stuff at you, but talk to me about all of that.
Okay. So work-life balance, honestly, I mean, I broke my back a few years ago, so I lost a good 2.5 years of my life on the floor and surgery and all that. So I have a whole different outlook of like, I only live once. I need to figure, like, you only live once, make the most out of it. So, and I think I've said this to you, like my motto is like, I party with purpose. It's like, if I'm going to go to an event or a party or whatever it is, like I plan, it is planned in advance. I have coverage. I'm not going to get woken up at 6 a.m. by my son. Like it is planned in advance. So I'm not the friend that you call at like 9 p.m. on a Tuesday. I'm not available. But if you want to do that, like 3 weeks out, that works. So, I mean, I'm a big scheduler. I think the way to make life balance work is if you schedule, which I know people prefer spontaneity all the time, but realistically, especially if you have a lot of things going on, scheduling is key. And when it comes to, you know, with silks, or any of the things like the dancing stuff that I do, I make sure I block it off, in my agenda. So it is blocked off. It's there. And I make sure I like do whatever work I need to do beforehand, or I make sure it's after. But either way, I think, you know, to have that break wherever you do it in day or night or whatever, it resets yourself, because then once I do something that like brings me joy, if I work out, if I do something, I'm energized, I'm excited, and then I'm ready to work, as opposed to like being in a chair all day long. Like I will go crazy. I need to walk around. I also take calls while I'm walking, has become a new thing for me.
I like that. I should do that more, except for I am in winter and I can't really walk around right now because it's too cold for me to walk. So I need to figure out my warm winter first.
Come down to Miami. You can do it.
Listen, we are thinking about it.
Come on down. We have the Meridian Hotel. Please come join us. And then with silks, honestly, it started, you'll appreciate this, when pole dancing was like a big thing, and a bunch of my girlfriends and I had scheduled to go at like a 9 a.m. class on a Sunday, and I'm the only one that woke up to go. And
you're the scheduler, and you knew what you were doing Saturday night to make sure it happened at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning.
I was ready to go, and they were all hungover and missed it. And I was like, great. So I guess I'll just see you at the brunch part of this. But I loved it. It was really challenging. It was so challenging and it's hard. And I liked that aspect. However, I bruise easily. And it was like, my husband was basically like, no, find a new activity. I mean, I was black and blue, like I'm telling you, hip to ankle on both sides.
Wow.
And like on my arms too. I looked like I had gotten like, you know, some sort of a cage fight. It was not cute. But I liked the challenge of it. And it was really hard. So that's how I ended up finding silks, because it is very core intensive. And when you watch somebody like fall or like drop, it looks like they're just dropping and falling from the sky, but it really is like a fully controlled activity, a very controlled activity. So it's something that, you really have to listen to your body and get out of your head and like shut everything off, mm-hmm. Which is why I like it so much. It's like therapy, right?
Yeah.
You just focus on you and your body and yourself and for that like hour. And then you can go back to, you know, the to-do lists and all of the emails and calls and, you know, things that are, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
But it's a fun, you know, I haven't performed in front of anybody yet.
That's okay. And sometimes you don't need to. Listen, I take singing lessons. Nobody is going to hear me sing ever. Never. Throwing it out there. Nobody needs to ask because it's not going to happen. I also don't go to karaoke with people who have phones out. So nope. Those are my boundaries and my schedule.
Like, no, you can't.
Because I've been asked to go to karaoke a couple of times and I'm like, no, 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 you people are people with phones and social media and that just ain't happening. But I think that's such great advice, right? Like scheduling far in advance also makes it that much more, because if you go out on a whim on a Saturday and, you know, you haven't planned for it, you've got all sorts of things, I almost feel like you're behind for 3 days. Because you just can't catch up mentally, physically, et cetera, depending on what you do on that Saturday night.
Yeah. I'm a big scheduler. No matter what, I like my schedule and I use a planner. It's paper.
I need
to write it down. I have to write it down. If it's in my even if it's in my online calendar, unless it's written down, like I won't know about it. I really trust my writing. So I think scheduling is important, but making the time for yourself, for your friends, for like doing activities that bring you joy as a person, mm-hmm. Having, you know, gone through what I went through where I could literally do nothing that made me smile for such a long period of time, I've realized how important it is to integrate some of those activities, and prioritize it. Like if you need to block it off on your schedule, like tell other people, like, this is the time that I need to focus on me, mm-hmm. and I will be with you in an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever your activity may be.
And I knew we were friends for a reason. Paper planners, just saying. Anyways, so I've got two last questions for you because I do have to wind this down. What is your advice for people looking to follow in your footsteps, and what does the future hold for you?
I mean, I'm a connector, so if you talk to everybody, stay curious, have an impact that you want to make in mind, ask questions, get feedback, and really follow up with people. I mean, I have standing catch-up calls with a lot of different companies and investors and people, every month, but it's like every 2 months or every 3 months, whatever it is. Maintaining those relationships. I mean, relationships are really the key to everything in this industry and most industries. And if you're thinking of going global, like you need local friends on the ground. So being in touch with people in the places that you think you want to go, maintaining the relationships with the folks that you have, set reminders for yourself. Like I have a million Google alerts for different things. So then that way, if something happens, I know that I can reach out to that person like automatically to be like, hey, I just saw you did this. That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, if it makes sense, then I'll throw in like, oh, are you available to catch up? You know, we can go from there. If it doesn't, at least I'm continuing that relationship and I'm showing that I'm interested in what other people are doing. And if I can be an asset or add value, like I'm here for that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So what's the future look like for you?
No idea. I mean, I want Manifest to continue to grow and develop. And obviously, you know, eventually Europe, mm-hmm. is definitely on the calendar. I have a 6-year-old, so, you know, just making sure that he's well-rounded and nice and sporty and fun, mm-hmm. And a lot more trips. A lot of travel.
I love that. I love that. I mean, you tried the UK in the summer and it was still too cold for you, I think. So maybe not the UK, right?
I don't think I wore shorts once. Like I think I was in pants like every single day of summer. It was lovely compared to Miami because Miami is so cool. You need to leave.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of, you know, if you're able to work from anywhere, if you can work remotely, then like go places. You're not tied to your home office. It's just about figuring out the time difference and then like adjusting your schedule. Because yes, I spent the summer, last summer I spent in London and it was amazing. And then I also got to meet with everybody that was based there. Mm-hmm. And all my calls for the people in the US, it's just a schedule again.
Yeah.
Back to scheduling.
Yeah. It's just different. I've looked at that and I'm not an evening person. So Europe is probably not for me, maybe on a short-term basis, but definitely not long-term. Listen, I could talk to you all day because I have a million more questions. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I mean, your energy, passion shines through. And I think our audience is definitely going to go away with ideas and inspiration because you've made some bold moves and you've taken some risks. You've lived in different cities and countries. You've created communities that have made a huge difference to thousands of businesses and entrepreneurs. And you're really an incredible example of where creativity, energy, and dedication really can take you. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what is next for you. And did you have a guess at today's big question? At the top of the show, I asked you, how many angel investors are active in the U.S.? Well, according to the Center for Venture Research, there were 363,460 active angel investors in the U.S. in 2021. But Canada is reportedly home to the most sophisticated and advanced network of angel investors in the world. So my home country making me proud once again. All right, Pam, thank you so much for joining me on our Woman in Supply Chain series for Let's Talk Supply Chain.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. I love talking and catching up with you. So looking forward to doing more and working more with you.
Did you know that the average cost of losing an hourly supply chain worker has reached $19,607? And that recent research shows that 77% of hourly supply chain workers are considering a job change in the next 3 months. This could have a huge impact on your productivity, bottom line, and culture. Workstep is helping supply chain companies to better engage their distributed hourly workforce at scale. Understand the true reasons behind their workforce turnover and take actions to make positive changes and reduce attrition. Workstep has successfully helped many companies reduce their frontline worker turnover by up to 36%. Visit workstep.com to learn more. If you would like to hear more from us at Let's Talk Supply Chain, we have plenty more content for you featuring the best and brightest in the industry. Head over to letstalksupplychain.com to check out the latest. And if you have a supply chain challenge, we have most likely had that solution on our show. So use the search bar on our website, put in the keyword, all of that content will come up, and you can take a listen to those episodes, see if you're the ideal client, whether their solution is the right one for you. And remember to come back next week. I'm going to be joined by Dave from Polaris Transportation, the award-winning carrier of choice for Fortune 500 companies, 3PLs, global freight forwarders, and small to medium-sized businesses alike. Polaris is a family-owned and operated Canadian business, so I'm really looking forward to getting back to my roots with this one. I'm going to be asking Dave all about Polaris and how they're moving beyond a we've always done it that way approach. How they're helping brands of all sizes to cross borders, and why they're embarking on a unique digital transformation journey. Operating since 1994, Polaris is celebrating their 30th anniversary this year, and I can't wait to celebrate with them. So make sure to tune in, and I'll see you next week. If you'd like to support the show, there's a few ways to do that. You can follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Supply Chain, and subscribe to our newsletter over at letstalksupplychain.com. You can also find some really cool merch. We've got t-shirts, sweaters, we've got swag bags, all sorts of things for that favorite supply chainer in your life. So head over to the shop at letstalksupplychain.com. And if you're looking for the right kind of community that you can network online, you can get exclusive content, you're looking for career growth, maybe you're looking for some job opportunities. Well, the Secret Society of Supply Chain is the place for you. We have a community membership group for everyone in supply chain. Supply Chainers is full of exclusive content from some of the biggest leaders in the industries talking about best practices. Plus, you can network. Then we've got our virtual monthly meetup for women in supply chain and our virtual monthly meetup for marketing professionals in supply chain that you are not going to want to miss out on. Let me tell you, the feedback from the cohorts that we have already launched is incredible. So head over to thesecretsocietyofsupplychain.com and choose the right community for you. And remember, if you'd like to be featured on an upcoming episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review the show.
Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening. And remember, ship happens.